This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Another win for the Golden State Warriors. They have taken a commanding lead in this West Conference final against the Dallas Mavericks. 3-0 now. They lead after 109-100 win yesterday. We will get all into that and what it means as they look for, John, their, what, a sixth trip to the finals in 8 years? That's what the Chicago Bulls did. Way back.
Wow.
Now, Chicago Bulls won 6-0.
They did.
And Golden State's 3-2 right now.
Yep.
In the five, but you certainly expect them to make it back at this point. Doesn't matter. I mean, Luka can score 40 at this point, and don't think it's going to matter against Golden State Warriors. He needs more than he's got right now. Also, the Eastern Conference Finals continue tonight. Will the Boston Celtics bounce back, John, after, I'll be honest with you, a surprising game three loss, at least in my world. I was surprised. What say you?
We're going to get into that. There we go. We're going to get into that today here on the show. Tyler Hero will not be a part of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's out. He's out with a groin strain.
That could be big.
Could be. He wasn't playing very well regardless. It makes it a little tougher on the Heat rotation there. Oladipo's going to get big minutes, but he was fantastic defensively. I think he had 4 steals given Jaylen Brown fits. No, he had 40, but in the big moments there, he made some huge plays, some huge steals. So we'll get into that here on the show. We got Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. Then Rob Fisher is going to join us at 1:25. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Kind of quiet. It's kind of quiet in here today.
Hey, here's something that's worth applause.
No, it's good.
Jaren Jackson, first team all defensive team in the NBA. How about that? That's worth applause.
Were you surprised, John?
No, I mean, he was a leading shot blocker in the NBA.
There you go.
You know, I mean, if he was not on the first team, that would have been, he was getting DPOY votes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he wasn't on the first team, that would have been, that would have been an act of Congress that we would have had to take here. So I'm glad he got that. Glad that he was recognized for his efforts this season. We'll get into that with Rob Fisher and more at 1:25. So that's the show today. Lots to discuss, though. Let's get Cap or No Cap.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now, it's Cap.
I'm going to say Cap.
For No Cap.
I'm going to say that that's No Cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
All right, let's start out with this big playoff series. You know, everybody, including Skip Bayless, saying the Grizzlies would have done if they didn't get injured, would be handling the Warriors at this point. We had our chance, though. The Warriors will sweep the Mavs. Is that Cap or No Cap?
It's No Cap. I think if you think about Game 2, you have a 14-point lead going into halftime at their place. The Mavericks do. And at one point, you're up 19, and you blow it, and you lose by 9. And then you come back for Game 3. This is supposed to be the moment. If there is a response that the Dallas Mavericks have, this is supposed to be the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Luka, the shooting, your record at home, the disparity as wide as it was, basically all series long against the Phoenix Suns, right? You go to their place, other than Game 7, you get killed, you come home, you kill them. You're supposed to win that game yesterday, and they did not. And even though they were only down 1 at the half, like even Shaq was saying it, Shaq was like, look, this is a championship team, you know? And the fact that they're up 1 at your place, you're going to have to take it from them. They are not just going to give it to you. And look, we'll say that the Mavericks didn't shoot the ball well. I think they're shooting like 8 or 9% less than they did in the Phoenix series.
13 of 45 from 3.
Yeah, they were getting open looks, right? Like, it was not like they were shooting contested jumpers here. It was very much wide open looks. I don't think they have it in them, Jason. I don't think the Dallas Mavericks have it in them. Look, because you're talking about role-playing guys, right? These are guys who are not, you know, on most teams, relevant players. Like, you have Brunson, Luka, and Dinwiddie, and the rest of it, to be honest with you, Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, Kleba, Bertans.
Your boy Bullock was 0 of 10.
Yeah, these guys are not credible NBA players, and you're relying on them to make threes. It's so skewed. Like, I kind of do hate what the NBA has become in terms of the three-point shot. It's such variance because whoever makes the most threes and whoever makes more of them more frequently usually wins the game. And in these playoffs, it's been blowout fashion. But that's the way the Dallas Mavericks have structured their team. And I just don't think they're going to be able to capture that magic down 3-0 psychologically. I think Golden State's ready to move on. They're ready to wrap this thing up. They don't want to go back to San Francisco and play this team. They're ready to just end it now. They know they're better at every position, basically, besides, you know, I mean, the Luka versus Steph, you pick. But I think they're going to close this out in four. And it's irritating as hell that they are going to do that, right? But I don't think the Mavs have it in them, man. I haven't seen it.
Golden State's finished the sweep in 6 of the previous 10 series. They've led 3-0 under Kerr.
Yep.
Okay. So they finished it off more than half the time.
And 2 of those, by the way, conference finals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That said, I picked Warriors in 5. I'm going to stick to my pick. I'm going to base it on the fact some of those guys you just named, you said they're not worthy of being NBA players anymore.
Credible NBA players.
Right. I'm going to say that they're role players. Guys like Finney-Smith, Bullock, those guys that went a combined 3 of 17. Hell, what is it, Kleba?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 0 of 5 in that game. 0 of 5 from 3 was useless. I'm going to say that those guys, along with Dinwiddie, who actually showed up.
Yeah, he did.
In that one, he was about the only role guy that showed up. I'm going to say that those guys hit some shots in Dallas and make this thing. They take one. And I'm with you on Golden State wanting to close out, because usually they do. They take care of business under Kerr.
60% chance.
We see it from the stat. But I don't think they're going to have any. Looking over at the East and seeing a series that's probably going to go on at least 6 or 7.
Right.
Right? I don't think that there's any urgency level. Oh, we got to close out. They probably got no problem with having another game in San Francisco. Francisco and looking at it as a closeout. And you don't have to look at it as this, as, oh, we've let Dallas back in the series, because no one's ever come back.
You're
from down 3-0.
Inevitable.
And so all you're doing really is giving the Bay another chance to make some money.
I mean, yeah.
Quite frankly,
no.
In that closeout game. So I'm gonna stick with my
original
pick.
But be honest though, based on the basketball that you've seen.
Well, what I tell you is that Luka can go for 40. Mm-hmm. Ain't gonna matter, because it'll come down to the role players. And I said this, guys, last week, the Grizzlies will have given them a tougher test than Dallas will have, and it's gonna turn out to be true.
Yeah, and again, that doesn't make my pillow.
I know you don't like hearing
night.
That, but it's still a fact, is it not?
No, it is. I mean, it's
how you receive it's up to you.
It's an inconvenient truth.
But the fact
truth.
Is, the Grizzlies were a tougher matchup, and that's without Steven Adams for half of it and Ja Morant for the other half.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
No,
quite
I mean the nationwide sort of take here is that it should be the Grizzlies in this. In
There's
this
been a
series,
lot of that. I've heard a lot too today of Dallas's future so bright.
Mm-hmm.
All they've got to do is put the pieces around. That frankly, to me, what it's shown is that you're further ahead.
Yep.
You are clearly further ahead than Dallas is. That's knowing right now, look, Dallas had your number, and they have with Luka Doncic. But in terms of roster build and where you are further ahead than the Mavericks.
And again,
that's what this has told me.
Yeah. I would emphasize, too, that it is a different animal in the postseason, right? Like, yes, the Mavericks, what was it? Was it 3-1 in the season, in the series for the season?
Yeah, I want to say they took 3 of the 4.
Yeah, same was true for the Warriors. They took 3 of 4 from the Golden State Warriors in the regular season. When you get to the playoffs and guys like Kleba and Finney-Smith and Bullock have to be great for you to win, especially this deep in the postseason, they have not shown up.
Well, the interesting thing about them is they say if they go and sign up Brunson, it caps them out.
Oh, yeah.
And so essentially you're talking about if you do it with him,
yeah.
There's your team.
I think
Brunson and Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
No,
yeah.
I think
that's the point.
I think most people expect him
to
move
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What
because
Dallas would say, because if we, again, you are capped out. You re-signed Brunson.
Well, it'd be one
so,
thing
so
if
on
this
Dallas's
was,
part.
It'd be one thing if this was 2-1, right?
It
would be one thing if this was, you know, in let's say this goes 7, right? Let's say this is a zigzag series. Let's say that Dallas takes this 7. Then you can talk yourself into, well, we took Golden State to 7.
That's your close.
In the Western Conference Finals. If you get swept, though, you clearly know what you have in place is not good enough, right? And maybe you're down 2-0 against Phoenix. Maybe if you don't have them in fighting, Chris Paul deciding that he was just going to fall off a cliff when he turned 37.
The quad injury. He's chalked. Who knows?
Right.
It seems like it's a nice excuse as well.
But again, you caught some breaks there with Phoenix.
Down.
I don't think there's any doubt about
it. Clearly.
So, yeah, I don't think they can. I don't think they can re-sign Brunson. I think they have to go out and they have to address their big man situation.
I just don't think it's enough to your point.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have enough around
them. They have to go get a credible big man, right? Dwight Powell and Kleba is not going to cut it, bro. Like, you got to go get a big.
Powell's a hustler. I like him. But to your point about cutting it, and does that get you to a championship?
Right.
No, sir.
You can win.
No,
sir. You can be a 4 seed, right? You can, if that's what you want to be, I just don't think that's what Mark.
It's not gonna get him over the hump.
If you have Luka Doncic, the same way if you have Ja, it's the same piece. You have to maximize that. You have to be better than a top 4 seed. You got to try to win a championship because it's very difficult to have a superstar like that. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially one that you can
have a
chance to
draft. Let him roll,
man.
Like I said, you'd be stuck with what you are at that point. And plus, you're going to have Hardaway Jr. back. You're probably telling yourself,
and you still have Dinwiddie, right?
Right. You got to figure out what the other pieces are. A bunch of them inside. Some people are saying they should go get Gobert.
The scary thing for me watching this series, I don't know what y'all think of this, is the Warriors are deeper than I thought. Like, these guys they've got, you know, whether it's Kuminga or Wiggins, who's playing he's playing pretty good here. Don't you think?
It's all Wiggins. I mean, that's to me.
Well, they got time for Kuminga to come along, though, is what I'm saying. Like, they got some dudes.
Oh, no, they're in a good position because they have Moody, they have Kuminga, you know.
Yeah.
They just do.
Again, though, the Grizzlies showed you they're not some...
No, you're right. Yeah, they got a lot of pieces, too.
The unstoppable force that's going to be taking over.
That's true.
To your point, I think they are well-positioned for the future when you talk about Kuminga, Poole,
yeah,
Wiseman,
right.
Possibly in the mix.
Yeah.
People keep including Wiseman. We don't have to do that around here. But you've clearly got, with Kuminga and Poole, you seem positioned well for the future.
In theory, they're thinking
at this point, right. Asset or whatever.
No, they're in a good position that when by the time
so in terms
Steph
of the transition,
Claire,
right,
transition,
it's not just
is
a
nice
fall
looking.
Off of old
yeah.
guys.
Right.
You've got some nice – Moody as well. You've got some nice transition. But that said, I don't look at them and say, oh, man. He'll be another 6 finals appearances over the next.
No,
year.
No, no. It's not like when they.
I mean, the Grizzlies again had them. The Grizzlies were a tough matchup.
No, when the Warriors first came onto the scene, right? This is a very different vibe. You know, we were like, oh man, they're unbeatable, right? Then they add KD, like, and they what they end up? They have 3 titles. Is that what they have right now?
Yes, 3-2 in the 5 finals appearances.
Yeah. So it's not that, but I do think a good place to start is when those guys move on, you're still going to be relevant in the
you're in the mix.
Right. Right.
It'll be different from most dynasties.
But I'll be honest.
Yeah. Fall off.
I'll be honest. Without Andrew Wiggins, they're out.
That's true. Yeah.
They lose against the Grizzlies.
I'd be like lying on it. Say no more on Wiggins. I got more on him later.
Okay, you have him later.
He's been a stud, dude.
But I think it's going to be a sweep.
See what he did to Doncic?
Oh, dude, yes. He's
took his soul.
Been killing everybody.
Unbelievable.
On the glass, like he totally reinvented himself as a player. And I know you have more on that. I know you have a testimony that you're going to get for him later.
Yeah, for Wiggins.
But yes, everybody's going to talk about Steph. Everybody's going to talk about Klay, but maybe not Klay anymore because he can't make a shot.
But it's no cap on you. Golden State's going to sweep.
Yes,
for me, I'm going to say cap just because I got
look,
Warriors
and I
in
thought
five.
It was going to be a series because I thought there was some real momentum with Dallas beating
Yeah, you and all your
Phoenix.
Dallas people told you it was going to be a series. I told you it would not.
But
be.
After the first game, I came in here and said,
you changed your team.
You know, I don't think the Mavs can keep up, and they cannot, and I think it's going to be over in 4.
All right, Boston to the East here. Boston will be 5-0 following a loss after tonight. Cap or no cap?
Oh, that's a new one. That's like a real...
Something
almost sound like
bananas with my computer and my cap sound. I think it is a cap. It's like busted
sound
cap.
Like the starter. Sound like the starter gun.
It's a
Usain,
trap.
Usain Bolt out the
I
block.
I like it. I like we're improvising.
Is that okay? I'm trying to make it work here for cap or no cap.
Yeah, we'll know if you get a letter or a note or something.
Is that inappropriate, you think?
Well, who knows in this day and age?
I don't know everything. Yeah.
It's no cap. Boston will move to 5-0 following a loss. Tyler Hero's out. Jimmy Butler is probably going to play, but he did not come back and did not return in the second half of that.
This is questionable.
Game 3, he might play. How effective is he going to be? Look, this is certainly a game that Boston's going to win all day long. If the Heat are able to go up 3-1, I would be very impressed. I would be very impressed. I don't think they can do that. Boston typically is at their best when they're coming off a loss, like when you see their best basketball, right? Game 6 in Milwaukee. You know, that's kind of what I think about coming off that Game 5 L. you know, must-win situation. This is a must-win situation for Boston, right? You go down 3-1,
yeah.
you're going to lose. You're going to lose the series. So, no, I expect – look, Jason Tatum was absolutely abysmal in Game 3. That was as bad as I've seen Jason Tatum play.
A little bit too much whining, too.
In a long time, yeah.
Yes.
He's too concerned with the refs. Play ball.
I hate these playoffs. I really do. I hate the playoffs, and I hate the fact that Jimmy Butler just leaves in the middle of the game. Like, he just doesn't come back.
Some people are saying the Pritchard thing's close to the they've compared it to the Jordan Poole thing with Jozny. Have you seen the play?
Oh, I haven't.
It sort of looks like he grabs Jimmy's quad or knee.
Yeah.
They've compared the two.
Interesting.
Most that have weighed on it. Like I'll be honest, Brevin Knight said he didn't think the Jordan Poole thing was a dirty play.
Yep.
I was listening to Riddick, JJ, this morning say he didn't think that the Pritchard thing was. Now, Jimmy didn't come back.
Right.
And it's inflammation of the knee.
Right.
That said, you know, that most have said that Jimmy's going to be
no,
fine.
No, look, I hate these playoffs because
dirty.
You don't know who's playing, like, on a game-to-game basis. Even Wiggins was listed as questionable going into last night's game, so you didn't know if he was going to play. Marcus Smart had what seemed like gruesome injury, and he comes back. Jason Tatum randomly leaves and then comes back. You know, Hero's not playing tonight.
Boy, P.J. Tucker got through, didn't he?
Kyle Lowry just left in the middle of the game, right?
Yeah. He's listed as questionable. He's one of many.
So I just, look, I don't like these playoffs for that reason. There's too much mystery around them.
Your boy Strus is listed as questionable, too. What's wrong with him?
Yeah. That's just what the Heat do. Like, they'll have, like, eight dudes that are questionable, for whatever reason.
That's what it looks like.
And but, no, I think Boston will win tonight. I think we'll see a much better effort for Jason Tatum, though. I will say P.J. Tucker was in that man's head.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was I tell you what, like, I looked brilliant based on Saturday night Saturday night.
Yes.
Because you like P.J. Tucker, you look brilliant.
Because
he's fun to watch.
Well, and he's an impact player. He's an impact player for that team. Now, again, he's not going to be a Grizzly because he has a year left and he's not leaving Miami. But he is an impact player for them. He had 17. He held Jason Tatum to 10 points. Jason Tatum couldn't breathe, bro. Jason Tatum could not breathe. And he was the difference. He was the difference.
17-7 is a strong game.
He was the difference in game one when they came back in the second half because he locked up Tatum, and he was the difference in game three because he was hitting shots and he locked up Tatum again.
He's so physical, and he hedges screens. It's a masterpiece.
So if you are an NBA watcher and you don't appreciate P.J. Tucker's game, I really have to question your IQ. Now, this isn't directed at you because I know you know the impact he can make, but there were some people out there saying that P.J. Tucker –
you were trying to make a Michael player. Jordan and say
I'm not making a Michael Jordan. I'm just saying he would be a nice four for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like him as the four?
Yes.
And then you have Jared at the five.
He doesn't fit our timeline.
Man, the timeline is now,
doesn't.
Bro.
Yeah.
Timeline is now.
See, John's trying to win a championship next year.
Yeah.
He's still hurting. You're still back at game six, aren't you? The Grizzlies.
You're not left.
And that's why he's ready to bring in PJ right to finish this thing off and titled next year.
You're not trying to win a championship. So what's the difference between you and me? It's like, why not?
I don't think P.J. Tucker's the difference. That's the difference.
But it ain't like he's going to command some kind of max deal, bro. You pay him $4 million
PJ,
a year.
First off, he's going to take some of your Tyus money. So you're going to be crying on one end.
I was told we would be willing to go to the luxury tax, man. That's what I was told. So it's time. It's time to go on the luxury tax.
1 year deal for Tyus, because I don't know why he would do long years.
No, he wouldn't.
So 1 year deal, going to bring in P.J. too?
Sign and trade. We'll give PJ an extension, sign and trade, bro.
I say upgrade over Kyle Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's going to knock down that corner three all day long.
Well, first of all, PJ's starting.
He actually hit the three. He was a 3-by-2 reason it came through. He hit the second three in the first 3 minutes the other day. Like,
dude
knocks him down in the corner.
I'm not going to besmirch PJ Tucker. Somebody tweeted me and said they want him to shoot that. Okay, you want PJ Tucker to shoot the corner three? That's blasphemous.
No, he's like Grant Williams in the corner. He actually knocks it down.
Right. I mean, that's his only shot. He has that like a little teardrop that he'll like throw in there, you know.
But I refuse to let you just come in here and make him Kobe every week.
I mean, it's not. I'm not trying to make him
five
Kobe,
titles.
Bro.
But yes, PJ, you're gonna win five titles for
he's
all
like
said
he's
done.
Like the hey, did Milwaukee win a title last year?
Yes.
Did they win one this year?
Miami's trying to do it with him this year, trying to be the piece.
What was the difference?
They shouldn't have let him go.
PJ Tucker was the damn difference.
Bobby Portis tried.
Yeah. He ain't him.
Go back.
He
again,
ain't him.
If they would have had, you've said this, and we all know it to be fact, if they would have had Chris Middleton, that's different.
Well, maybe, but I'm just saying PJ is him.
That said, yes, Boston bounces back. That's no cap. They'll move to 5-0 after losses these playoffs, 10-1. That'll be 11-1 since late January. This is what they do. Miami's probably going to be shorthanded, banged up. Yes, this is a must win for Boston, and they will. They'll tie it up 2-2.
The 2-4 show is doing trade a day. John's doing pipe dream a day.
No, it's PJ Tucker a day is what we're doing on this damn show. Yeah. Every day I'm going to
trade for him.
Every day I'm going to give you a new scenario. PJ Tucker
a new
stat.
Way to get PJ.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to give you a fascinating nugget about PJ Tucker every single day.
Good enough. Baker Mayfield will be on the Browns roster when the season starts. Is that cap or no cap?
Yeah, look, yes. The answer is yes. So that's no cap because...
That's based on your assumption that Deshaun will be suspended and someone will have to play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I've heard from on this story has basically insinuated that there will be a league punishment for Deshaun Watson.
Something.
He'll escape criminal.
Florio's trying to get it out. You know,
right.
Trying to put pressure on him to get it out now.
But look, the NFL, this is the reality of living in 2022, right? The NFL, regardless of criminal proceedings and what have you, they have to take hard line stances on these issues. They just do because of perception, because of all of that. I mean, if he's found liable in a civil court, right, outside of a criminal court, but he faces no punishment from the NFL, what kind of look would that be for Roger Goodell? So he is going to get some games, and as a result of that, they're going to keep Baker Mayfield on the roster because they know at the very least he can tread water in the first. I don't know, but if
they're going to use him up to the very end,
how begrudged are you going to be him though? If you're him out there, it's like, is that culture screwed up?
You got to be a professional. You got to be a professional about it if you're Baker Mayfield.
This is an interesting conversation
because you're auditioning for your next job, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and you, I mean, you're not. You can't retire, right? I mean, you want your next deal. You want to go to a situation where you know you can win, and so you have to prove that you can do that, right? You have to prove that you are a guy that teams would want to bring in.
Remember last year, the non-throwing shoulder thing was an excuse for part of the play. Some have bought into it, some haven't. But to your point about needing to prove something, clearly, and you want to increase your market, everything
absolutely.
Else, you go out there
this
and you,
is
you play
the
well.
I mean, this is
to your point. You better just be a professional and stop worrying about hurt feelings. Because Baker's been worried about hurt feelings too much.
What
the media's saying about him, what fans think about him. To at some point, and you're at the last year of your rookie deal here, it's got to be about being a professional, showing folks you can just shut up and play football.
Yeah.
Because that's where your future is.
Absolutely. So if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm approaching this as if
that's
it's
how
like,
Cleveland decides to do it.
You know, this is the most important 6 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I need to be locked in, and I need to be on the same page with Amari Cooper, and I need to make sure that we win some games, because the better that I do and the more wins that we pile up before Deshaun Watson is eligible to play, the more robust my trade market is going to be. So look,
When's the last time a guy be on a placeholder like that?
Like this specifically, I can't think of a situation.
Seen a situation like that? Because I think he's set to make like $15 million last year.
A number one
deal,
pick.
And he's just holding. He's holding the place for the. He's holding it for the next guy, and you're sticking around. In this case, it might be the best thing for you.
Is it Favre Rodgers?
Because nobody's clamoring.
I mean,
I'm not
comparing Baker to Brett Favre by any stretch of the imagination, but that kind of was what that. But if that was a multiple year thing, that actually was logical. You know, they're just trying to get Aaron ready, and Brett Favre wasn't ready to go. You know, so no, I can't. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of though, where he's a lame duck in a sense.
Because I was listening to Orlovsky this morning again. Everybody believes, even you know, set aside what you think about Deshaun Watson as a man, what he's done, everything else. We'll talk about the football side of it. Once he's back on the field, the contender it makes Cleveland. Just because dude
just
is so awesome.
He's just amazing.
I mean, he was good in Houston with nothing around him, essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have Hopkins at one point, but then you get rid of him, you've got nothing. Cleveland's got a good roster.
Yeah.
Like, Cleveland's stacked. You put him in the middle of it, that thing's a contender in a loaded AFC.
But this guy should not be playing football. Can I say that? This guy should not be playing football.
That's your...
I'm sorry. Like,
your opinion.
It's amazing what talent will get you through in these days. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't mean to be like Mr. Righteous, and I ain't perfect, but like when you got 23 women and then you're sending apology text to the woman, like, man, like, I don't know if that's right.
But look, I mean, this is...
I know we've talked about this incessantly since it happened.
Well, I mean, it's like in everybody. I mean, there's lots of guys in the NFL who have done things in the past.
And it's the no criminal charges, that gives you an open avenue for these NFL guys,
right,
with no criminal charges to keep that door open for them to play. Right, I think that's the way the NFL looks at it. And again, to your point though, you got talent. They're gonna
I would never.
Talent always goes over.
I would never sit here and try to tell you that Deshaun Watson is a good guy.
You can't do it. You know?
But I can tell you that he is a hell of a quarterback.
I thought that at one time about Deshaun. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah,
be honest with you. I did.
Yeah, me too.
You know, when he was donating half of his of his check to the to the workers in Houston. You know what I'm saying? Like you thought, okay, good. But you see a whole other side of guys. It just shows you don't. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
You know, no, you don't. But yeah, I mean, look, when you're especially at that position, man, there's so few elite quarterbacks in the NFL, and they're so damn hard to find. Like that guy's going
to
play.
But
again,
to your point, back on Baker, if they cut him, they get nothing.
Correct.
If they play him a few games, right? That do you at that point have an asset? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Can you then drive up the market for him?
It makes logical sense.
So it makes
for
all
both
the sense in the world to keep him on, and it makes sense for Baker as well. So I'm with this that Baker be on that roster when the season starts again, assuming Deshaun has a significant suspension, which we all assume that will be the case.
They had some folks leaving Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is washed up as a TV show, just like Pete Davidson. Is that cap or no cap?
We're very strongly worded.
Yes. Yes, our script writers. Man.
This is a staff
biting.
Got a couple of staff members back there.
Yeah, well, look,
up.
I mean, I have not watched Saturday Night Live ever.
So you didn't see Pete say bye then?
No.
Saturday night.
Like, I have never sat down in my entire 31 years of life and watched.
That's got to be
wrong. In the 90s, when Jason and I were growing up, in my opinion, it was must-see TV. Like, they had Jordan on there.
It was real.
It was great. Must-see TV, you're right.
You would stay, like kids in high school would stay up to see Jordan doing little scripted Toonces the Driving Cat crap on there.
Well, like Eddie Murphy was on there, right?
Yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah. Eddie was a cast member.
Like there used to be like real.
Chris Rock?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, man.
It doesn't even compare.
Will Ferrell?
It doesn't even compare, you know?
Now we got Pete Davidson.
Pete? So you think Pete's washed?
I'm not a big consumer of Pete Davidson's work. I mean, I did like the movie King of Staten Island, but that was just about his life. You know, I mean, that wasn't like some great acting job. That was really his life that he lived. So,
I like as opposed to, you know, what we think of Pete and his career, the bigger question here, which is, should we move on from Saturday Night Live?
Who's watching it?
Or should Lorne Michaels be willing to, as John said, that's his baby. Should he be willing, if they're going to keep this thing, should he be willing to hand that thing over? So you get 30, 31-year-olds like John Martin to at some point say, you know what, this should be appointment viewing. I want to check this out. Because you're not right now.
No,
you literally got a generation of folks aren't even watching, aren't even checked in, have never checked in.
In fact, none of my friends have ever brought up Saturday Night Live in a conversation.
So what,
Lorne Michaels
made the decision to hire Pete Davidson. I read about it. Said he thought it was a gamble. They both said, well, let's go mess this thing up together. Ha, ha, ha. But if Lorne Michaels thought Pete Davidson was the kind of guy that you need to bring in right now to bring in viewers, right? Well, it went wrong. Yeah. He's lost his touch to that point. At one point, yes, he was fantastic at identifying great talent and the next big thing, but at this point, it's become lame. There's nobody on there you check in for. Who is it?
Nobody. I mean,
what's Kate's last name?
McKinnon.
She's the best. Kate McKinnon is the best thing on that show.
Well, so where are they both going?
I've said that before, though. That's not new.
Are they just going to pursue other opportunities?
Where are they both? I don't know. Just Pete Davidson, as far as I know. My thing about Lauren is it's bigger. That's me and my take.
No, Kate McKinnon's gone, too.
Kate left, too?
Yeah.
Well, she can get movies.
Yeah, Pete Davidson clearly is hoping the Kim Kardashian thing lasts.
Again, even more reason to let this thing roll on. You cannot replace Kate McKinnon. She's the last funny thing on there.
Saturday Night Live has been a thing since 75. 1975 is when it debuted.
Bill Murray they had at one time. Dan Aykroyd. They had Chevy Chase.
Is there another show on television today that debuted in 1975?
Say that again?
Is there another show that's still on from 1975?
Right,
I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, what would it be?
CBS Sunday Morning.
Well, that doesn't count.
It'd be some news show.
Right, that's news. I'm talking about like a pure, you know,
like an entertainment type show,
sitcom, comedy, whatever.
Just the incarnation of the Tonight Show, I guess you could say. But
I would tell you the talent's out there, but you clearly need new evaluators. You need somebody over new, and that would require Lauren to be able to hand it off because it's his.
Yeah,
it's his creations. Yeah. Everything else.
I don't see a younger generation tuning in either. If I didn't, right, then I don't think the generation that's after me will either. I think it's probably just time to take Saturday Night Live out to pasture.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
It's because John only watches TikTok.
Yeah, he's a social media viewer.
I mean, I do watch
And I
TikTok.
Only use you as the example for the younger generation. But that's what it is. Our attention spans are growing shorter, right? We like it in small bits. Yeah. This ain't going to work to the point, to the bigger picture about Saturday Night Live.
Don't blame that, though.
It's your TikTok approach,
I think the quality of Saturday Night Live has fallen off.
Well, it absolutely has. I've told you that at the talent level.
Like, I just don't. I don't think any.
But I'm asking you, does a show like that even have a future? Even if you had a great cast, would you give it time?
Well,
would you give those skits time? I'm not sure we're looking for that anymore.
I mean, Saturday Night Live used to be like the launch pad, right? It used to be when you went on there, those talents went on to do amazing things.
Dana Carvey.
Right.
Yes.
Who's the last star that Saturday Night Live like truly produced?
Hey, who's your dude? Who's your dude, the coach that you love on that corny show? Sudeikis, isn't that his name?
Jason Sudeikis.
Did that thing not produce him? Is he not one of them?
Yeah, he was a writer.
A writer or whatever? Mm-hmm. He's part of that crew, though, is he not?
He hosted back last October.
And he's become, I mean, he's pretty big to your point about who's the last one that's kind of made it big off of there.
Probably.
I think Sudeikis counts.
That's probably it.
I'm kind of digging deep, but I think he would count.
No, he would, for sure.
Looking at recent ratings, Kardashian's episode had a 3 rating back in October, and Jason Sudeikis was second. Other than that, Nielsen numbers dropped 41% overall from last year's Chris Rock-hosted premiere to this past year's episode to open the season for Saturday Night Live.
Look,
it's down. I think people aren't watching it.
I think every show runs its course. It just does. And especially when people don't look at Saturday Night Live with the same prestige, right? You don't have to go on Saturday Night Live to launch your career anymore. It's just not what it once was.
You and I are reading that 90s book. I'm about done with it. Have you finished it?
I have not.
Okay. They make the contention that things don't last longer than 50 to 60 years. The Beatles are an exception.
Right.
Things. Right. I'm talking about pop culture. Bands, shows, and I think this applies to that.
Oh, yeah. And it's not, well, I guess 75 is, what's that, 50?
Yeah, we're 46, 50. 47.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, yeah, I think.
You're close.
Y'all going to kill Kenan Thompson's career, though, because he ain't going to have anything else to do.
No, I mean, Kenan's fine.
He's funny on those, those Jeopardy things he does. Those are funny.
I like Saturday Night Live, I find to be cringe more than I find it to be funny now. It's just like, ugh.
It's not as fun. I'll tell you what. We used to go to high school, and we'd come back, and we'd recite the episodes off of VHS tape. We'd recite them in high school.
No, it's just not that anymore, man. Like, my friends do not ever – I have never gotten a text or a – like my friends will text me stuff all the time. They'll show me these –
Like, you sat down and watched the Chappelle episode, the last one, right?
On
you
said SNL?
That statement that you've never watched in 31 years, you've never sat down.
Oh, the stand-up.
The Chappelle one, when Chappelle was on, was the last time he starred on it. You watch that one, or did you go back and watch it on DVR or something after people told you, hey, Chappelle was good on Saturday Night Live?
I didn't watch that one. Mm. I watched his stand-up. His last stand-up on Netflix. Yeah, I didn't watch him on SNL. I didn't even know he went on SNL. SNL is not relevant in my life.
I see.
At all. So, yeah, I think at some point you just have to.
They should blow it up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Lorne should be willing to hand it over if they want to give it a try.
Times change, right?
Yes.
Times change, and what's important to people changes, and schedules change, and I don't watch television on Saturday night. I don't think most people do.
Well, brother from Chicago, he hadn't saved it either. I had a hope for him. The brother from Chicago that's in the Charles Barkley FanDuel commercials. He just hasn't.
Yeah.
He hasn't been good. I think that's right. He hadn't been good enough for me to memorize
Chris
his
Red.
Name. Chris Red. That
yeah,
seems
that's
right.
That's yeah.
I think he's from The Chi.
But even that's like cringe.
The new folks they brought in, it just hadn't been good enough.
Even that impersonation of Chris, the Charles Barkley.
Oh, it's not good.
No.
And see, Keenan does Charles. That's what I'm saying. They run it. Come on, y'all.
Right.
Well, TV has a larger issue in general besides play-by-play sports and real-time stuff. Like, my wife DVR'd the Idol thing last night, but, people aren't doing a lot of that. You know, TV's got issues.
Yeah, times change.
Two more items here. Let's go to Jason Smith here. Jason, I've seen you driving those nice wheels. Jason is back to reality in the Mazda. Is that cap or no cap?
It's no cap. I didn't realize that people had made me part of the deal here. They must have seen me drive up today, and I'm back in
the script writers indeed.
In 2006.
And they have questions. They have questions.
Yeah, no. I mean,
sorry about that.
How long do y'all think I was going to be riding around in the good car before the wife confiscated it?
We thought forever.
You know, there had been questions at her, of her downtown where she works, that did y'all really buy a new car? Because all we see you driving around still is a raggedy thing. So there was pressure on her side. Yes, at some point it was always going to be back to reality for me. So yeah, you better believe it. Probably for the summer, I'm back in the Mazda. 226,000 miles, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it rolling.
Okay.
Need to stay on the road.
All right, last one here. Our invitations to Taylor Rook's 30th birthday must have gotten lost in the mail. Cap or no cap?
No, that's no cap. And I saw the pictures on Instagram, and I was confused. Wait a minute, where was our invite here?
Now Taylor Rooks is a TV broadcaster from New York City, right?
Well, she you don't know Taylor Rooks?
I do not know Taylor Rooks.
is the next generation of NBA broadcaster.
Okay.
She is she worked her way up. I remember once upon a time when I was working at Scout. Remember when I was doing the Scout thing?
Yeah.
She was also there. She was covering like Illinois. She was doing like the Illinois team site.
Big Ten Network.
So she has absolutely climbed. I know, dude. All right.
I'm glad you told me.
Yeah,
that.
Like she.
I'm so glad you told me that. So she was on your level at the same time.
She blew up. I'm here with you, right?
Not well. At one point, you were 20 under 30, as that Memphis Flyer article that's turned yellow. You've still got hanging up there on the wall would indicate. But what this has indicated is that it slowed down a little bit.
To a crawl.
Because Taylor, that was her 30th birthday party. She's blown up.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you see who was at the party?
No, I did. Like, no, there's no doubt. My career at
Ja
one time.
Ja freaking Morant was there.
Yeah, Ja was there. Jack Harlow was there.
Damn.
Who else was there that you recognized?
The dude from Snowfall.
The dude from Snowfall was in that thing.
Idris is his last name. Damson, I believe, is his first name. Damson Idris.
Was Bennett there?
No.
Bennett did not get the invite for this.
No,
one.
This was people that are the theme was in your prime. So the people that were invited are people that Taylor felt like were in their prime. Then the person that runs Twitter, weren't they on there?
Jack?
Jack?
Yes. Jack was there from Twitter.
Wow. And she's a social media star too.
Yeah,
she's a very attractive young lady.
Very much so. No, there's no doubt.
She's been to one of Ja's games before, at least one.
She's been here before. Yep.
You ever heard? Look at this. Rooks comes from a family of athletes, from Fighting Illini top rusher Tom Rooks, and she's the niece of Cardinals Hall of Famer Lou Brock.
She's the niece.
Did you know
there
that?
You go. You got to start paying attention to her.
Bleacher
Report and Turner Sports, I believe, are her current employers.
Now, my career when I was 21, it felt like an Elon Musk SpaceX rocket.
Hey, who's Anna Kendrick?
Anna Kendrick's a famous actor from Pitch Perfect, bro.
So she was there too?
Yeah, Anna Kendrick was there.
Is she 30?
No.
She seems older than that.
She is, probably.
What was she doing there?
You don't know Anna Kendrick, though?
The sweet face girl. She's like, what's the commercial that she does? She gets a regular, is it a hotel chain or something?
Probably. I think you're right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
What is that thing she's in?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like a deodorant or something.
Well, her movies aren't really my sweet spot, you know, but I know who she is.
Yeah,
though,
she was in Pitch Perfect. Like she.
Yeah, see, I've never watched any of those.
Yeah.
But I know about them.
But no, it is. It's a reminder, right, that when I was 21, my career was like an Elon Musk rocket.
The same time as you.
And now it's like a Russian tank.
That's not true.
It's amazing how much John has slowed down.
He
likes to talk about me.
I'm immobile.
Right.
I literally am inoperable. My career is inoperable right now.
You've never, but you haven't lost anything. Like
no, I haven't.
I mean, he kind of has. We thought when he
lost momentum.
I thought when we started the show, he would go national.
I've lost momentum.
And it has. We're going on 6 years.
That's overrated, y'all. You guys don't need to be national.
No, I do think it's true that I've completely lost all momentum.
What?
In
I think
career.
Your last big thing was, what was the thing with Bart Hahn and them or whatever? They were coming around doing spots.
Yeah.
You were talking about Tennessee or something. You were holding it down.
No, I mean, I had
big hopes then.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the last gasp. You know what I mean?
Quite good enough.
And I'm like begging Fitz, like, please, dude, you got to have me on during the Grizzlies run. Like, if you don't have me on, like, I'm going to have retire or resign. Dude, like, it's over for me.
You see what they put him through, though, with that job? They send that man everywhere. Yeah.
Did Taylor know you when she was covering Illinois and Scout? You weren't on her radar then, and then you're not.
Well, why would I be on her radar?
Y'all were colleagues at Scout.
Yeah.
You were both covering recruiting. You were covering
ridiculous.
Memphis. She was covering Illinois.
It's ridiculous.
Time.
It's ridiculous that you are using this as a way of punishing me for not living up to your dreams for me.
You have used the fact that I spent, 14 years of my career covering preps and how that slow. You have used that against me for 6 years. You think I ain't going to use this as ammo about how yours has slowed down?
Then it texted and said, damn, you really have fallen off.
I mean, look at the room that Taylor Rooks is in and who she's got there.
She used to be with Scout.com.
Yeah, bro. And no, it's definitely true, bro. I don't know where it went wrong for me, man.
I think I'm looking at Taylor's profile here. I can see maybe where you fell short here if you're following the dice. I'm not trying to stereotype, but let's just keep things real.
We don't have to be naive about it either, right?
Bro.
But there was a trajectory, right? There was a trajectory for me, and it was up for a while. And now it has absolutely, I mean, we're running out of gas. That thing is running out of gas. We're going to have to get some resupplying over here at some point. I need a jolt.
I'm going to write a letter to Taylor and see if she recalls.
See, I tried walking out of the show 2 weeks ago to, like, restart, like, the controversy.
That did it. No,
right?
That did it. That jumped it.
But now I'm, like, running out of material. I'm running out of things to try and do this with.
That worked. Who's she dating? It looks like she's dating Lou Williams. No?
Is she dating Lou? I have no idea.
Oh, that's in 2017. She's been running through them pretty good. That's in 17. Beg your pardon.
She's quite the catch for whoever.
She's going through
whoever.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
Well, happy birthday, Taylor Rooks.
Yeah, happy birthday.
30th birthday. My 31st birthday going to be sad as hell. It's going to be me, Sam, and Riley just looking at each other in a damn circle playing patty cake.
It sounds like fun.
That's not
a beautiful thing in Germantown.
Taylor Rooks got freaking Jack Harlow.
Is it fair to ask how the progression of Ja ending up at that birthday sort of goes?
Well, he's been in L.A. I'm sure, you know, they probably know each other from their time.
Again, she's been to his game.
Right.
I'm sure this was almost, you know, in many ways a return.
And I think that's where he's spending a lot of his offseason, right, out in L.A., mm-hmm. which is his, certainly, I encourage that. Right, I encourage. Mm-hmm. And it was a tequila sponsored party, which means you know Ja gonna be at that thing.
He's part of the in crowd. You got to accept it.
Yep,
tequila is the thing now. You know, it's what everybody. It's everybody has a tequila. George Clooney has a tequila. The Rock has a tequila.
So Ja's number was it Casamigos?
Yeah, that's George Clooney's.
Okay.
Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, my life is in shambles. Congratulations to Taylor Rooks though on her success. All right, we will come back. Rob Fisher is going to join us at 125. His career is not stalled out. His career continues to fly high.
You seen that man's clothes?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll get into that with him at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Well, my career might not be going anywhere, but you could be. You could be on the move. If you're moving and you're relocating, whether it's home or office, cross town, cross country, make sure you call my friends at Black Tie Moving. 316-6196. 316-6196. They have changed moving in the city of Memphis. When you're moving, you're not just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. Black Tie gets it. They can handle it all. Fine art, electronics, heavy stuff, light stuff. They do it all. Use them twice. Glad I did. Give them a call. 316-6196. Book your move now. It'll book up fast. Summer's here. Moving season's here. Black Tie wants to take the chore of moving your things out of your hands and make it that much easier for you. Black Tie Moving. Change and moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. I want to talk about the Mavericks, and I want to talk about the Warriors here really quickly because there was a piece of this conversation that we touched on as it relates to the Memphis Grizzlies. Does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel, do you get a warm, fuzzy feeling when you look at how badly Golden State is killing these teams, right? The Nuggets was a gentleman's sweep. The Mavs, I think, is going to be a sweep. At best, it's going to be a gentleman's sweep, right? Mm-hmm. And the Grizzlies, let's be real, had this thing tied up at one apiece. Ja Morant gets hurt in game 3, which changes the trajectory of the series completely, and yet it still goes 6 games. And the Grizzlies still were up 55 at one point against the Warriors here at home without Ja Morant. Does it make you feel good to see how badly other teams have fared against them.
It's not about feeling good or bad. I know for you it is. You're emotional in your feels. To me, it's I would when you put it next to what Dallas is doing, and it matters because again, their superstar is 23 years old. Yours is 22. So you got to figure again that's we talked about it, John. How much of a hurdle is Luka Doncic to your championship hopes? He certainly won. Mm-hmm. We'll see how high he's going to be in terms of what they put around him. But yes, to me, it's I feel good about the future where I am compared to Dallas, using Golden State as sort of a measuring stick. It's that you can sit here. I can paint the picture just like I did for you last week. Well, if Gonzaga had gone on to win the national title, you'd feel even better about Memphis and Penny Hardaway from that game, right? You were up 10 on them. You'd feel better about where you are as a program. You can look at it that way if you're still sort of caught in that moment. Oh, could have beat Golden State. Sure. And you could say you were right there. Hell, you should have won, game one? You should have, you had a chance there. They didn't hit a field goal for the last 3 minutes of what was that, game five? Was it the games all run together at this point?
I know.
Anyway, you were right in the series. John, you can use it to feel bad if you want to, but I would only use it to feel good about.
No, it doesn't
about
make
where
feel
I
bad.
Am looking at the future as for them as a measuring stick, and then again how close I was in a situation where I didn't have Steven Adams and I didn't have a John Morant for significant portions.
It doesn't make me feel bad. I'm trying to find like a way. You know, I like to make these analogies, and I'm having a hard time finding one here. But it just makes me feel like. You know, it's like leaving something on the table, not because the Grizzlies chose to do that, right? Not because it was, they didn't play their best basketball. They didn't have John Morant. They didn't have Steven Adams in the first game. It was just like the Grizzlies were unlucky. The Grizzlies were unlucky. And I don't think the Warriors are that team. Like, I think they're going to lose to whoever comes out of the East. That's my opinion. If both teams are relatively healthy in the East, if Robert Williams comes back, if Marcus Smart's fine, I think Boston can beat them, and I think the Miami Heat can beat them as long as they're, you know, again, presuming health. The Warriors are getting lucky right now in that they're the healthiest team, right? That is something they have going for them. They are the healthiest. Like, Luka had bubble guts or whatever he was dealing with from game one to game two. Like, that is part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this so often in the context and the framework of NBA playoffs. You have to be lucky enough to be the healthiest team. Most times, that's who wins, right? I think back to that weird, random-ass 2019 Raptors series win, right? What happened? KD got hurt. Klay Thompson got hurt, right? Then they end up losing both of those guys. I want to say Kevin Durant went down last game or something or some such, whatever. So there, you just if you can stand tall at the end of the season and say you're the health. I would wager that the champion most years is also the healthiest. I would make that bet, right?
It's like everybody says, you need a little bit of – you need to catch some breaks. It was game one and game four the Grizzlies should have won in that series.
Yes, exactly.
Lost at 101-98 was that game
four.
Well,
and four, look, I mean, game six, they were leading with 6:55 left. Now, that's a lot of time, and a two-point lead is not like, you should have won the game. But that could – it looks worse. That score was not indicative of how close that game was, right? The Grizzlies had an answer in a way that the Nuggets didn't, in a way that the Mavericks have not shown. They had an answer almost, you know, I would say 94% of the time,
right?
Except the last one, except that last tsunami. And the Warriors do throw it back. Like, they will channel that 2015, 2016 energy from time to time, and they will start making everything, and they will go on these runs like they did last night and like they have throughout this series. I mean, you come back down from 19, that's a wrap for me. You know, if you're the Mavericks and you can't hold on to a 19-point lead,
mm-hmm.
It's a wrap. It was over after game two, right, in terms of them having a chance to win the series. Now it's just a question of, do you win a game?
I just said, when I look at Dallas, I see Luka, Brunson, and a bunch of role guys. That's not enough, especially with Tim Hardaway Jr. out. Like, and you've seen, he needs to be more consistent, but he's got an opportunity, obviously, to be more than that. They certainly paid him to be more than that. The Grizzlies have more than just two guys and a bunch of role players, and that's what the two series clearly show you. And so, again, now, how much do you believe you need Dylan Brooks, right, to stay here? He missed a significant portion of that Golden State series, but we saw, too, when he was in, how much of a difference, especially defensively, it made in terms of the tone of the series itself.
Yeah.
Defensively. They were again, they were going off on you. What? How many did they beat you by in the one he missed? 30?
Yep.
And at 142, I think they scored in that game.
Yep.
And so, you know, I've been one of those guys that looks at Dylan and says, oh, okay, that I look at him as an asset on an expiring contract next year. What can you do with him? But if your case is, look how good the Grizzlies were without Steven Adams, without Ja, for much of the – Dylan Brooks was a big part of that. Can you replicate that? Can you improve on it if he's not a part? Again, like some have said, you don't just make the trade to do it.
Right.
Because Dylan Brooks is very clearly a useful player for you on both sides. But if there is something that presents itself, absolutely. Because, again, I would tell you, with Jaren now, first-team All-NBA defense, Bane, yep. Right, Ja, and now Zaire and sort of his emergence, I just tell you, I think you can stay and possibly improve on it. Maybe it's not for next year. Maybe it's the year. Who knows? But I do think you can move up even in subtracting or whatever you add for Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, and you got to see like because that's what we talked about last week. Like you don't know what you don't know yet if you're the Grizzlies, right? You don't like the Dallas Mavericks know, right? They know what they're gonna have to do. They know what they need. The Grizzlies don't know what they don't know yet. That unfortunately is, again, because you didn't have your full complement at the end of that series. You can't just circle one thing. Oh, if we just add that, if we just add this, then we'll be right there. Like, it's still incomplete. Like, you're still sort of dealing with incomplete information. Now, you could argue we need the Grizzlies need a guy that's not going to take as many shots and an improved shot selection, right, who that would be, maybe a guy that's wanting to take on a lesser role. I don't know who that mythical, magical player is.
But is Dylan willing to be that guy when they're all out there?
I don't think so.
That's question.
That's why,
is he willing to do it at a number that you like?
I don't think so.
That's the other part of this conversation.
That's why we always talk about, right. let's deal within the confines of reality, please. Because do we think that when you talk about Dylan Brooks, you already hear from fans like, oh, that's just who he is. I don't need that dude.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.